You are listening to CEO Perspectives, a podcast by the Conference Board.
Welcome to this episode of CEO Perspectives, a signature webcast and podcast series by the Conference Board. CEO Perspectives take a timely inside look at a range of timely topics that matter most to business leaders. We'll sit down in this series every week and do what we do best at the Conference Board, which is to provide trusted insights for what's ahead. I'm Steve Odlin, the CEO of the Conference Board and the host of this webcast and podcast series. And today's topic is something that is probably on the minds of every working American today, and that's career development. How can businesses and how can workers ensure that careers continue to be developed in this strange and wonderful hybrid world? How do we make sure that people don't get sidetracked, that career growth doesn't get stunted, and how can employees continue their personal and professional development? Joining me today is Dr. Jennifer Burnett, a leading voice on nurturing the potential of workers. She's the principal of human capital here at the Conference Board. Formerly, she had a brilliant corporate career, including a stint as Senior Vice President of Global Staffing and Learning at the Bank of America. Jennifer, welcome.
Hi, Steve. Nice to be here with you today.
So, Jennifer, there's a lot of change that has happened in the last couple of years. It's been awesome and scary and wonderful all at the same time because we've made about a decade's worth of change and progress in a short time. But I think we should anchor in starting pre-pandemic. What was the state of career development before the pandemic? And then we're going to come back and say, where are we today? But where were we before?
Yeah, definitely. So before the pandemic, I think we were already experiencing so many changes from a labor force perspective, and companies were really seeing how important it was for them to invest in their employees and to retain and develop those employees. Because even back then, there were challenges in filling roles. And so there was also a recognition that we were experiencing skill gaps in the workforce. So employers were already looking internally and determining how they could really develop their internal employees. And employees and workers saw the same thing. We've known for years that employee engagement and retention has a focus on whether someone has the opportunity to develop and grow at that organization. If they didn't find that they could make progress at that company, then they were more likely to go somewhere else. So between the interest and expectations of the employee and the realization from leaders that it was really in the best interest of the business to invest in their people, then we really were seeing a great deal of focus on career development, even pre-pandemic.
Right. So even pre-pandemic, we had a tightening labor market. You know, we had this surge of the younger generation, the millennial generation and Gen Z coming into the market with different needs and demands than perhaps older workers. And then the pandemic hit. And what changed?
Yeah, you know, so of course, what we saw initially was so many organizations shifting to remote work from a health and safety perspective. And for those organizations who could do that, who had workers who were doing work that they could do in a remote environment or hybrid environment, obviously that is probably the biggest legacy of the pandemic. And for the first part of the pandemic, people sort of stayed where they were rather than making some shifts. But of course, in the last year or so, we saw so many people leaving their organization. And for leaders, that was difficult because we already knew that it was a challenge to find people in the external workforce. And now they were losing their internal workforce as well. So there's really an emphasis on looking at retention. What is it that employees need? What is, of course, how's that aligned with what the organization needs? And where should they be investing in that type of development for their employees?
Yeah, so pre-pandemic, an on-site work environment, whether it's an office or, you know, describe any number of work environments, people are there, right? And we're social organisms as human beings. We interact with each other. It's verbal. We're in the same room and so forth. So career development is, yes, on paper. Yes, it's education and you know, yada, yada, yada. But it's a lot of how things are going from an interpersonal standpoint, right? And the informal part. That disappeared on us, right?
Yeah, in many ways it did. So especially for companies who are accustomed to that in-person environment, that's what we hear people say they miss the most, is that spontaneity of just, you know, being able to sit down with someone in person, go out to lunch with them. It was easier in many ways to do collaborative work because you could just all, you know, go sit in a conference room and to have those conversations. So the interesting thing, though, Steve, is that we haven't really seen productivity decline. So the shift, I think, has really been in making that adjustment to how can you still be collaborative? How can you still have very productive conversations and work in a creative way with your colleagues, but still do it in a remote or hybrid environment? And I'll also note that I think what we're also realizing, especially as more people are coming back into the office and we talk about hybrid itself is its own situation where you have some people in person and some people remote. It requires a different type of skill set in how you communicate and interact with each other and recognize that, you know, you want to make sure that people are participating, whether they're in the room or whether they're on the camera. So these are still adjustments that we're making, but I think one thing that we're definitely hearing is people are saying loud and clear, I'm missing some things, but there are other things that now that I have or become accustomed to that I highly value. So as an employer, how can you help me get the value out of and benefits out of both?
Well, so, you know, you described, an on-site work situation where spontaneity, I'm not sure you use that word, but spontaneity, in other words, the unscheduled kind of informal interactions are critically important. You know, the ye olde water cooler kinds of conversations or just walking down the hall or, you know, you don't schedule those things. So that was our mindset pre-pandemic. Now you're in a completely virtual world. You're on Zoom, you're scheduled minute to minute. All of that informal stuff disappeared. And so, yes, productivity measures, you know, by all surveys are holding up as it relates to the business, but the career side, the interpersonal side is what people are worried about. Describe that.
Right. Well, you know, I had an interesting conversation with Joe Gage, who's the CHRO at Bon Secours Mercy Health recently on one of our webcasts. And especially as a healthcare company, you have to think they have a workforce that, first of all, is frontline in hospitals, you know, really frontline in the pandemic, but also, of course, have support employees who are in office and have been on site. And I think what was really inspiring about the story of Bon Secours that Joe shared with us is that they took a step back and thought, we do like the idea of people coming back to the office. Some people wanted to come back in the office, but we need to rethink even the office space so that when people come in, that it is more purposeful, more intentional, that the environment itself is set up for collaboration. So I think that that's really interesting that many organizations are saying, well, we like the idea of people still interacting, being in person, but when it makes sense, and how can we provide an environment, again, both in person and even virtually, that is conducive to that, and that we're not just going back to the way things were in 2019. And I think that's really interesting how creative they are.
Yeah, and it's a hybrid world. So what does that mean? Well, you know, it means sometimes you're remote and sometimes you're together, you know, whether it's a couple of days a week or, you know, whatever is going on. But when I talk to CEOs, what they tell me is, you know, if I don't see people, you know, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. So does that then favor the people who are more apt to come into an on-site process? And how do you then have a fair workplace, a fair assessment of skills and move people through career development when there's an imbalance there?
That's a great question. First of all, one of the biggest shifts for people, when you think about their career development, how they would like to move either within the organization or sometimes outside of the organization, the first thing that they really needed and wanted was that real-time access to learning and development resources. And they really wanted their managers also to be able to support them in that. So visibility is very important, but also skill development. They have to be ready for that next move. There has to be transparency about their readiness for that next move. And so in some ways, with the adoption of many of the technology and tools that companies are using now for learning resources, so much has moved from in-classroom learning to online learning, virtual learning, but also there's been a rise in the focus on experiential learning. So that's where, whether in person or virtually, to really acquire a new skill, or get to that next level and show that you're ready for that next role, you have to demonstrate certain capabilities, you have to practice them, get coaching and feedback. So what I'm seeing is that companies are saying, well, how do we do that in this hybrid world and have visibility for employees, even though they may not be in person? So what I'm seeing the shift is in more opportunity for rotational work, gig work, projects, apprenticeships, that type of experiential learning, but adjusting it to a hybrid workplace. So that, not that that wasn't taking place in person, but we're adopting tools and technology that allow the employees to improve and upskill to be ready for those new opportunities.
But that still doesn't get to the business leaders. So, you know, remember the old adage in the practice of management by walking around, that was the great buzz line for, I think, for a number of years, but it's true. I mean, you know, CEOs and business leaders walk around, they run into people, they say hello, and they say, oh, you know, I just met Maria, and, you know, she was great, had a great conversation. These kinds of things really matter in an organization. So what advice do you have for business leaders, CEOs, and all leaders who are responsible for developing people? How can they create situations and interactions that used to be informal in a world where you're hybrid or remote?
Right. Yeah, it is a big shift for managers, and it requires a much more intentional interaction, much more intentional conversations, because as you said, those are not spontaneously happening. It also, for those who still are near the office, it may be more intentional in-person meetings, again, purposeful meetings. And it doesn't necessarily even have to be in the office. It could also be having lunch or meeting for coffee, those types of things. The shift, though, for managers is that, number one, they're going through and have gone through that transition of, how do I stay in touch with my team? How do I continue to motivate productivity and be aware of how they're performing their jobs. At the same time, their employees are going through the transition. So they're having to coach and guide them and give them feedback on how to continue to be visible. Not everyone is as comfortable of communicating in these virtual ways. So there's a lot of pressure on managers, and they're of course at the center of the success of those workplace changes happening. So for managers, they have to be much more intentional. They have to also take advantage of the companies are putting resources in developing those skills for managers, not only on the communication side, how to be collaborative in a hybrid or virtual environment, but of course, we're also hearing that there's those more human-centric skills that, again, we're probably not as front and center in the past, of that empathy, focusing on tuning into a person's well-being. Sometimes that's really hard to do when you're on camera with someone most of the time, instead of when you see them in person and kind of see what I call their 3D body language, you know, of how they're doing and how, you know, they are feeling about their job and their performance and their time in the organization.
Right. And you know, 90% of communication is nonverbal. And so when, you know, you're fixed on a camera in two dimensions and, you know, you have a little bit of a visual, but you're right, this whole body language thing. But you said something also that I think is really, really important. And that's the deliberateness of creating these things. So the everything that was informal before in a, that was just happening and that we relied on as business leaders now needs to be deliberately created. That environment, that engagement, that ability to interact has to be scheduled or created in a more deliberate way. And this is not something that business leaders were accustomed to doing.
Right, right. I'll add that there are certainly some people though who say, now when I was in person, I was very focused on who was physically, you know, in the proximity of the office with me. And now I am on Slack or Teams and I'm interacting with people around the world or in other offices. So to some, this has opened up opportunity for more visibility to reach out, to connect with people, to from a mentorship perspective or just a peer learning perspective, not just with their manager. And so for some, they feel like there's more visibility, more opportunity to collaborate across the organization than there was before. So there can be two ways to look at this, and we need to take the best of both and really you know, make sure that managers and employees are seeing those benefits.
We're talking career development in a hybrid world with Dr. Jennifer Burnett. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
As war rages in Ukraine, the Conference Board is closely monitoring the situation and producing timely and relevant content on a daily basis that will help the business community navigate this global geopolitical unrest. What will the impact be on oil prices, food prices, our supply chain, and what about cybersecurity? How will this conflict impact the way your organization does business around the world, and how will you communicate this crisis to customers and employees? We're gathering the very latest content on our website. Just head to conference-board.org and find trusted insights to help you and your team lead with confidence.
Welcome back to CEO Perspectives. I'm your host, Steve Odlin, the CEO of the Conference Board. And today we're talking to Dr. Jennifer Burnett, an expert in career development. So Jennifer, we've talked a little bit about what managers, leaders, CEOs, C-suite should be doing to advance career development in a hybrid world. But now what can individuals do about their own development? What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. See, you know, all of the things that organizations are providing to their employees will not be beneficial unless people see value in them and take advantage of those opportunities. And so for employees, I think they really need to look at what their own skills, capabilities, strengths, and interests are, and be sure to communicate that clearly with their manager and share that in whatever way makes sense with the organization, because again, we are using more tools and technology to help people identify what potential career paths may be, but it requires employees to provide that information to essentially complete their own profile, much like they do on LinkedIn. They have to do that for the employers too, for the employers to see not only what their next role might be, but there are also future roles that they may be a great fit for, but they have to share that information. That's the first step. I'd say the next step is really to, again, be a self-directed, voracious learner. So whether it's opportunities and resources that your employer provides or even outside of your organization, that continuous learning mindset is critical in today's world because things just are changing so rapidly that it's important to continue to reskill and upskill your own capabilities for those next opportunities.
Right, but even if you do that, an individual, you go, you're brilliant, you're upskilling, you're training yourself, but if people above you don't know that, it doesn't matter. I mean, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there to hear it, it doesn't make any noise. So the issue, so the challenge for individuals is, without looking like a brown noser, because in, you know, in a previous world, if you went and sang your praises or, you know, called up your boss and said, have a, you know, that was kind of viewed negatively. But now you have to, as an individual, kind of break through on your own. There is some responsibility here. How do you do that deftly?
Yeah, I've always felt like it's really the individual's responsibility to advance their own career. So the manager is there to support them, to guide them, to perhaps remove barriers to that next step. But it really requires initiative on the part of the employee. And it is up to them to not only rely on their managers for feedback or also to provide information about what might be available, but especially in a hybrid world, as we just said, the manager has less visibility to how they're performing their job, not necessarily what they're achieving, but how they're going about it. So they have to rely on also information from peers, from customers, from clients, and even from the work itself that's round out that picture so that managers and others, leaders in the organization can see this is how they're doing their job. Here's what they're accomplishing. It can't just come from what the manager observes or is aware of. But again, it's back on the individual to make sure that they're getting feedback and visibility from many sources, not only their manager.
Yeah, so it comes back to something you said in the first half, which is it's intentionality. It has to be deliberate, it has to be intentional, and it has to be professional, of course, right? So people need to ask for feedback, you know, from their managers. Take the time and say, how am I doing? You know, do you have any suggestions for me? And express your point of view. I'd like to, you know, not in a, you know, in an abrasive point of way, but, you know, I want to move ahead, or I'd like to do this. I'm thinking about this. What do you think? So there needs to be more deliberate dialogue, doesn't there?
Absolutely. More deliberate dialogue. And also not just about, again, what you feel comfortable that you could do, but even something that you're curious about, because that's the whole idea behind things like gigs, rotations, or project work is, well, I think I might be interested in this other area that the organization has that I haven't worked in before, but I would like to try it out. I'm not sure I want to leave my current role yet, but if there's an opportunity for me to spend part of the time over in that area, try out a project, work with a larger team, most individuals are going to have to raise their hand for that and say, I'm want to learn more about something that's very different from what I'm doing today, but I feel like I have related skills that could benefit the organization. And you really have to seek those out.
Yeah. And what I always liked as a CEO was if people came to me and said, what do you think? You know, I'm thinking about this. What do you think? You know, what other things do you think I should be doing? So that it's a dialogue back and forth. And I think it's really, really key to this. So, you know, the skill sets that were required for a completely in-person working environment are great. And those are necessary now in a hybrid world, but there are additional skill sets in a hybrid world that are required in the workplace that were not necessarily required before. Talk to us about some of those skills.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think what comes to mind, what's top of mind is what we've really touched on already, is really improving or shifting some of the communication skills, collaboration and interaction, interpersonal skills that we may have taken for granted before. So communication skills, for example, when you're in person, we rely a lot on our verbal communication skills. In a more hybrid or remote environment, you'll find that you're writing more emails, more chats, more text, and more documents. And so that shift, some people feel stronger in the verbal skills versus their written skills. Communication, interaction, we've also talked about, it's very different interacting with people on camera, on a Zoom or Teams, than it is in a 3D world. And again, we already said where you have sort of those, some of those nonverbal cues. So those come to mind first, But there's also things that people have had to adjust to in the remote and hybrid world that they really didn't have before, which is just that blurring of lines between work and personal life. And so they've had to be more flexible to think about when they turn off work and how they balance that their personal life even more so than before. So some of those skills like resilience, flexibility, adaptability have become even more important in today's workplace.
Yeah, and anytime you generalize, of course, you're wrong, right? But I'm going to generalize. So you can bucket people into two buckets, introverts and extroverts. And in an extrovert world, they're very comfortable engaging in dialogue, engaging verbally, going in and inserting themselves in networking, talking to their bosses, da 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 da. Introverts are a little less comfortable with that typically. But introverts, on the other hand, are very comfortable in a written world where they can go and they can think and they can compose their thoughts and then reduce them to writing. So they're actually better at that. In a hybrid world, it doesn't actually, what I'm hearing you say, favor one or the other, but you need the skill sets of each. And so it really requires that extroverts learn these brilliant skills of introverts and vice versa, I guess, to be successful. Is that a fair way of articulating?
It is. We probably, we tend to, you describe it well. We tend to rely on what we're most comfortable with or we think are our strengths. And now we're in an environment where that might not be our comfort zone, but we're going to have to do it anyway, because that's what we need to do to be productive and to interact with other people. And sort of back to, I think maybe the theme has been intentionality, or also taking initiative sort of through our conversation today. And again, those are skills that people may not have really practiced before, but are essential for them to be successful in a hybrid or remote world, is really to be intentional, to take initiative, not only for their work, but as we're talking about today, for their careers as well.
Yeah, so career development in a hybrid world requires not only to rely on the manager, the leader, but also to take some responsibility. You said that was really the case before, but almost more so now, to be intentional about it, create opportunities deliberately, to work on these skills that are not necessarily in your sweet spot, because you have to be able to deploy them in order to develop your career in both a remote environment and in an office environment. So this is a brave new world, Jennifer.
It is. We shouldn't underestimate the difficulty of this. And I think we're still very much in a transitional phase. And so as organizational leaders look ahead, I think it's important for them to see how they can support the employees and the managers in continuing to make this transition. We're really not there yet.
Dr. Jennifer Burnett, thank you for joining us today and sharing these great insights.
Thanks, Steve.
And thanks to all of you for listening in to CEO Perspectives. Every week, I'll be joined by a prominent business leader or a thought leader on a whole variety of subjects. We'll cover topics in geopolitics, economics, human capital, ESG, marketing communications, and more. Please share CEO Perspectives with all of your colleagues, your friends, your grandchildren, anybody who'll listen to you. I know that they'll want to hear. I'm Steve Odlin, and this series is brought to you by the Conference Board.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Conference Board, your source of trusted insights for what's ahead. For the latest insights to help guide your business through this time of geopolitical unrest, we have daily and relevant updates on our website at conference-board.org.